Welcome to our 8th SPG podcast of the academic year. Good morning, it's Dr. Casserly here. I hope you're keeping well. We're all great here, just a little tired from an amazingly successful sixth form open evening last night, where we ran out of chairs as there were so many in attendance. Please don't tell the staff who won Celebrity Traitors, or I will be in big trouble because we've all recorded it. On this day, we're celebrating the birth of the great Polish scientist Marie Curie in 1867. We've been celebrating her great achievements as the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, the first person to win a Nobel Prize twice, and the only person to win a Nobel Prize in two different scientific fields, in chemistry and also in physics. I think it's worth remembering her powerful words when she said, "Life is not easy for any of us. But what of that? We must have perseverance and, above all, confidence. We must believe that we are gifted for something, and this thing must be attained." So may our girls be future Nobel Prize winners, and we all know that they are capable of achieving real success. And so on to pupil success. Congratulations to Safia in 9S and to Sarah in 9U on their thorough and accurate research as the joint winners of our weekend quiz on fashion and on Grace Wales Bonner, who has become the first black woman to lead design at a major fashion house. Huge congratulations to the winners of the National Antarctica Flag Design Competition. Well done to Robin in 7U, to Joyce in 7U, to Carolina in 7U, to Kenesha in 8A, to Mackenzie in 8A, to Terry in 8T, to Zemma in 9L, and to Kinga in 12U. What a tremendous privilege to now have their flag designs chosen from all the entries throughout the UK. Their flags will now be transported to Antarctica and will be flying there in the next month. Isn't it just a fantastic achievement? Thanks to Mrs. Rich, our wonderful head of geography, for organising and leading on this. We had a beautiful lunchtime concert on Tuesday, and well done to Amaris in 12S on her exquisite piano playing. We will hear a performance from her later in the podcast. And congratulations to Josephine in 8T, to Farah in 8T, and to Leah in 8T on their excellent singing performances, and to Dior in 9T on her dynamic dance. It was a real treat to have the concert over our lunchtime. And thank you to Connie in 10U for her superb comparing, and to Mrs. Awomi Seaton for organising this event. Very well done to Yagoda in 8S. On coming 9th in the highly competitive European Fencing Confederation in France. This is a fantastic achievement, as the standard of fencing in France is so high, and therefore to be placed 9th deserves great congratulations. We are so proud of you, Yagoda. Well done. And we're just going to complete this little section on pupil success with a beautiful performance by Amaris of Tiny Love by Yuki Kajura on the piano. Thank you. Thank you so much to Amaris on her beautiful piano playing. I hope you, like me, are feeling very chilled and very at peace. And now on to school events. On the Friday before half term, our A-level historians had an excellent visit to the Black Country Museum. Their modern British history section begins in 1945, so girls were able to witness firsthand some of the changes, where houses had televisions, indoor bathrooms and equipped kitchens. They also visited the clinic and witnessed some of the many changes introduced with the birth of the NHS. At the centre of the day was a visit to the Women's Institute, built with funds raised by Mary MacArthur and the Women Chainmakers strike in the early 20th century. Thanks to our Head of History, Mrs. Coyle, supported by Miss Carter for organising this. Such an inspirational visit, which not only will inform the girls in their completion of NEA, but give them real insight of how history informs our present. On Monday, we had two beautiful masses for the Holy Souls. The reverence and prayerfulness was just phenomenal, as we remembered that for our faithful departed, that life is changed and not ended. Thank you to Mrs. McLean and our lay chaplain Alejandra for organising the liturgy so well, and to the girls for their excellent reading. Well done to Hannah in 11A, to Purity in 10S, to Cheldine in 10L, to Caitlin in 10L, to Letitia in 10L, to Miriam in 10L, to Michelle in 10L, to Grace in 9L, to Estella in 7L, to Valentina in 9L, to Kerrion in 9A, to Tiara Lily in 7U, to Carolina in 7U, and to Casey in 9L. They were simply magnificent in reading with such clarity and conviction. Thanks also to our altar servers, Beatrice in 11S, Chinny in 10U, Emily in 10U, and Brittany in 10U. They showed exemplary leadership, especially in the expert use of the thurible for incense and using communion patterns for the distribution of Holy Communion. Thanks as ever to Father Anton, who had us enthralled explaining about the hope of purgatory as a healing hospital for us on our journey to heaven. On Tuesday, 20 of our top performing Year 8 girls in computer science had an amazing opportunity to visit the BT offices in Birmingham for the Mini Mega Cyber First Day. The girls took part in four challenges, where they worked in teams to protect a company from a cyber attack and also in programming Sephira bots to get to the pot of gold. I'm not quite sure what that means, but they do. Well done to Raphael in 8A, who won a Mini Mega medal for her amazing participation and enthusiasm towards all of the challenges she faced. We are extremely proud of the Year 8 who were such fine ambassadors for our school. And Elon Musk better watch out. Thank you to Miss Langford for organising this invaluable experience and to Miss Campbell for all of her support. Yesterday, we were honoured with the visit of Archbishop Bernard Longley to celebrate Mass with Year 7. It was a truly splendid occasion, and he was rightly impressed with the reverence and the engagement of Year 7 in all aspects of the Mass. Archbishop Bernard gave us a wonderful homily, in which he reminded us of the importance of giving 100% in all aspects of our lives. It was a real privilege for the girls and the staff to meet him, and we were very grateful for him taking time out of his extremely busy schedule to be with us. Congratulations to our readers yesterday, to Estella in 7L, to Michaela in 7T, to Lucy in 7T, to Jamelia in 7L, to Tiara Lily in 7U, to Carolina in 7U, to Lucy in 7A, and to Rosie in 7A. And well done to our altar servers, who were truly exemplary. Well done to Beatrice in 11S, to Chinny in 10U, to Emily in 10U, to Brittany in 10U, and to Joanna in 10U. And they received great praise from Archbishop Bernard for all of their fine leadership and support of altar serving, both in school and in their parishes. We're so proud of Year 7 and of all the staff who worked so hard in preparing the liturgy, and especially to Mrs. McLean, to Alejandra, to Mrs. Kinsella, and to the Year 7 tutors. As I said at the beginning of our podcast, we had the most wonderful sixth form open evening with standing room only last night. It was a great occasion, and we're so very, very grateful to the parents of Year 11 for their amazing support, with many saying that they would love to come back to school, having listened to the subject presentations. Year 11 were so mature, and already we can see the future leaders of the sixth form, as well as the future university destination success. Well done to Samuela, our head girl, and Despina, our deputy head girl, for their superbly confident addresses to parents and to Year 11. They did themselves and SPG proud. Thanks also to Mr. Gupwell, and he will be your daughter's head of year in Year 12 in September, please God. So should any parents of the current Year 11 have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact him or to Mrs. Rigg about the sixth form. And so on to forthcoming events. Next week, we are participating in the national initiative Power for Good Week campaign, and we will be focusing on the positive impact we can make in becoming a power for good. In that spirit of being a power for good, we will be having a dress down day on Friday the 14th of November to raise funds for the Caribbean disaster response, to support the work of CAFOD in helping those in Jamaica following the devastation caused by Hurricane Melissa. As you know, we work very closely with the Trussell Trust Food Bank in Quinton. The Head Girl team will be launching our Christmas shoebox campaign on Friday the 14th of November. We're asking each form to prepare at least one Christmas shoebox for children aged between 3 and 10, for whom maybe this will be their only Christmas gift. Each shoebox needs to be wrapped in Christmas paper, but the Trussell Trust team need to be able to remove the lid so that they can see that the shoebox contents are appropriate for the families they will be helping over Christmas. Pupils must write or attach a label on each box identifying the age group for which the Christmas shoebox is appropriate. We aim to collect in all shoeboxes by Tuesday, the 2nd of December, in order to bring them to the food bank on the 5th of December. We would be really appreciative of your support in this extremely worthwhile campaign. Last year, the food bank was so overwhelmed because so many of our girls were so generous in preparing the beautiful shoeboxes. Please encourage your daughter to be equally generous and to be a power for good for Christmas. Next Tuesday, we will be having our Armistice Day commemorations. And it is in that spirit that we will share one of the poems that will be used on that day.
Dulce et Decorum Est by Wilfred Owen. Bent double like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge. Till on the haunting flares we turned our backs and towards our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched to sleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of gas shells dropping softly behind. Gas, gas, quick boys! An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time. But someone still was yelling out and stumbling, and floundering like a man in fire or lime. Dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea, I saw him drowning. In all my dreams before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you two could pace behind the wagon that we flung him in and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face like a devil sick of sin. If you could hear at every jolt the blood come gargling from the froth-corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of vile, incurable sores on innocent tongues. My friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie, dulce et decorum est, pro patria mori. I have chosen this poem because studying English literature at A-level and exploring World War I has led me to appreciate Wilfred Owen's poetry, especially as he featured in Regeneration, one of our set texts. Through his poetry, we can vividly picture life in the trenches, especially in the second stanza, which begins with the frantic tone, gas, gas, quick, boys. It was interesting to see shell shock in the lines, in all my dreams before, my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning, showing how the war continued on in the soldiers' minds through their hallucinations. In addition, the cynical tone at the end contradicts propaganda at the time. The old lie, dulce et decorum est, pro patria mori, questioning the war campaign and helping us envision the bitterness and resentment echoing the growing disillusionment as the war progressed.
Thank you to Yuita in 13U for such a poignant and powerful reading of Wilfred Owen's poem Dulce et Decorum Est, and for her extremely insightful and wise analysis. Yuita, I think we have a future Nobel Prize winner for literature in you. And now on to the Just One Thing section, which will be led by Mrs. Smith to explore just one thing you can do to help your daughter to develop her skills and progress in food and nutrition.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Smith and I'm Head of Food and Nutrition at St. Paul's. Today I wanted to talk to you about a few things that you can try at home to help improve your daughter's progress and outcomes in food and nutrition. Let's start with a little reality check. I remember Jamie Oliver once said during his famous school dinners campaign, every child deserves to know how to cook and that it could save their life. And that's spot on, because when young people have a good understanding of nutrition, that means what's in their food, where it comes from, how it affects their body, as well as how to prepare and cook it, they're able to make better food choices and get excited and passionate about the food that they prepare and cook for themselves and others around them. And when parents get involved, that learning can go from the classroom straight into the kitchen of life. So I know this feature is called Just One Thing, but I've actually got three small ideas for us to think about today. Idea number one. When your daughter has been studying food and nutrition and she brings her recipes home, ask her what skills or cooking methods she used to cook the dishes. Ask her what the best part of the lesson was, or what she would change if she had the chance to cook it again. Perhaps she can even recreate that recipe for you at home. It's a great way to revise practical skills and food theory at the same time. Idea number two is about exploring real life food, because cooking doesn't have to be fancy. You could give your teens ownership over one meal, one night a week. Let them plan, shop and cook, perhaps with a set budget, or challenge them to recreate their favourite treat meal or takeaway as a healthier fakeaway alternative. Remember, the possibility of them making mistakes in the kitchen, although unfortunate, has the potential to be a really golden learning opportunity. And every week, our girls show in class that they have the confidence, skills and ability to plan, safely cook and most importantly, clean up after themselves. Nothing beats the pride and confidence boost they experience when they get to share what they've made with the people that they love. Idea number three is about connecting the classroom and the home kitchen. As food teachers at St. Paul's, we teach your daughters the science, the functions of nutrients, a food's origins, sustainability, health and safety. But at home, you can help to make it stick. Parents are an invaluable tool in helping your daughters to see the real world value and application of their food knowledge. This might include doing things like label reading in the supermarket when shopping, comparing the cost of dishes per portion, or identifying where the ingredients have come from in a meal. Whether they're locally produced, are they seasonal? What might the implications of this be? Another idea is to try something like a nutrient of the week challenge. This is especially a clever way of getting fussy eaters to explore different foods. So, for example, you name a nutrient like vitamin C or iron or calcium, and then find foods that are rich in it and have a go at tasting them together. Don't underestimate the power of curiosity, because when they realise that the protein found in meat, beans and grains helps their muscles to recover faster after their Sunday football matches, or the vitamin C found in kiwis and strawberries brightens their skin complexion and strengthens their hair, it suddenly matters so much more to them personally. So, here's my recipe for progress and a takeaway for today. One part knowledge from school, one part practice and application at home, a pinch of curiosity about the food we eat, and a good splash of passion and pride. So tonight, talk about food, cook something, taste something, and learn something together. And you can turn food and nutrition from another subject in their wide curriculum into both a lifelong skill and passion.
Thanks to Mrs. Smith for that recipe for success in food and nutrition. And I look forward over the weekend to making a fake away myself as an alternative. And so we conclude with our prayer. In this, the month of November, we pray for all of our dead. And we especially remember Father Simon Hall, who died last week. We pray for his niece, Flo in 12T, and for all of his family at this very sad time. May he and all those who have died have eternal rest. And I conclude with the prayers of Pope Leo from All Souls Day, when he said, although our loved ones left us on the day that they died, we continue to carry them with us in our hearts, and their memory remains always alive within us, amid our daily lives. Often something brings them to mind, and we recall experiences we once shared with them. Many places, even the fragrance of our homes, to speak to us of those we have loved and who have gone before us, vividly maintaining their memory for us. So let's take a moment to pray for the loved ones who have gone before us and who we carry in our hearts. Let's take the time to thank God for them by thinking about a happy memory or a positive influence they have had upon us. And the final part of the prayer is a challenge which I shared with our girls at the end of Mass on Monday. I always marvel at all of the effort and money spent on funeral flowers for the dead. And in this month of November, I challenge us to give flowers to someone living, to let them know now how much they are loved, and not to leave it to their funeral to give them flowers. And so together let us pray for all of our dead, as we say, "Eternal rest give unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen." So have a wonderful weekend, and just to say thank you for all of your support, which we so greatly appreciate. Our great girls are a credit to you and all of their SPG family, for they personify, "I am a St. Paul's girl, and there is nothing I cannot achieve."